Well, I'm sure you're scratching your head. You're wondering, what am I going to get himself or herself for Christmas? Well, if you have somebody in your life who has a particular interest in history and Irish history, can I recommend what I described earlier on as a lump of a book? And I'm holding it here. It is an absolutely fabulous production. It's called Michael Davitt After the Land League, 1882 to 1906. And it's the work of my first guest this morning, Carla King. Good morning, Carla.
Good morning, Tommy. Good
my to heavens, you. I am just looking through this and I think to myself, what a life you've lived for the last few years putting this together.
Oh, tell me about it. I've been cloistered for years.
Have you always been a fan of Michael Davitt and his work?
Yes, it's funny. I first encountered him when I was a schoolgirl and I made my way into the National Library. I didn't know that school children weren't supposed to go to the National Library, and I read Frank Shee Skeffington's biography of Michael Davitt and was immediately fascinated by him. So I've had this thing about Michael Davitt for a very long time.
Yeah. Known, of course, as the father of the Land League, and we all learned about him. But what you kind of homed in on in this book is more to do with his later life.
That's right, because there is a large book by Professor Theo Moody about Davitt and revolution, it's called. It's about Davitt and the Land League, and it's he did a wonderful piece of research and writing on that. But that book ends in 1882, and Davitt lived till 1906. He died at the untimely early age of 60. But he, but in those 24 years after the Land League, he packed an enormous amount. And I really wanted to address that because I felt it had been neglected. And in a way, Davitt's memory was skewed because of that. He became very radical. He became an international figure, a writer, a journalist, a traveller. I found that aspect of his life, relatively little known, really quite interesting. And I hope readers do.
And when you say he travelled, boy, did he travel. He was in the States, the Middle East, Russia, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa. Would he be actually speaking at events like they do nowadays?
Yes. I mean, the Australia trip was purely a lecture tour, really. But when he was there, he would meet all the main figures of the day because they wanted to meet him. And then, of course, he wrote a book about Australia afterwards. But, and similarly, when he went to the Boer War in South Africa, he was working really as a war correspondent. But again, he was meeting all the top leaders among the Boers, and they kept contact even afterwards. So he would be... He wasn't speaking in South Africa, but he spoke a lot in Australia and America, in Britain, or you know, England and Scotland, Northern England. He would go to on lecture tours in the north of England and Scotland and south of England as well a bit, but not as much. He really was speaking to industrial working class people about labour issues as well as about Irish issues. He was very keen to try to win the British public to the cause of home rule. So he wanted to interest them in Irish issues and felt that home rule wouldn't make progress until the British public was won over to support that. And he had a certain amount of success with that too.
Do we know much about the private life of Michael Davitt?
Yes, we do, because there are diaries, there are letters. He was married to an Irish-American woman called Mary Yorr. She was a good bit younger than him. They had five children. One, their eldest, Kathleen, died tragically at the age of seven. But yes, we do know quite a lot about... Mary was from a relatively comfortable background. She'd been brought up by a wealthy aunt. And she was quite brave, really, to take on a husband who was really married to his job. In a sense, he was away lecturing a lot of the time, and she kept the home together, and they had very little money for most of their life together. So,
yeah.
But she seems to have been a doughty character. For example, when Kathleen died, Davitt, Michael Davitt, was on his way to a lecture tour in Australia in 1895, and Mary wrote him a telegram which reached him in Colombo saying this had happened, but to hang on, keep, you know, stay with the trip, and he did, and she just managed her grieving more or less on her own.
And when you say died tragically,
Well, there are different theories about what this was. She, you know, people did die a lot more. But it may have been TB. It may have been some kind of influenza that just.
Yeah. It often intrigues me because I wasn't aware that Michael Davitt travelled as extensively as he did. And you wonder who funded all of this. I mean, he wasn't a wealthy man, was he?
No, he wasn't a wealthy man. And the only way he could fund it was by selling his articles. Or in 1885, when he went, he just sold the rights of a book that he'd written about his prison experiences. And when he went to South Africa, he wasn't actually certain that the newspapers would take his articles, and he took out a loan in the hopes that they would, and they did.
Okay, so it worked.
Yeah, it worked.
It worked. Well, all I can say is it's 728 pages. It's a ton weight. It really is. But I have to say, you must be extremely proud of this.
Well, I think UCD Press did a fantastic
job
with it, and I'm very pleased. I had a very happy experience working with them, and I think Orpen's portrait of Michael Davitt, I'd wanted to use that for a long time.
It is stunning. This is the front cover. It is a stunning. Yeah. It looks like it's almost an oil painting.
Yes, well, it was.
Yeah.
It's in the National the Hugh Lane Gallery, it's a beautiful portrait. Yes.
Beautiful. Really is. So anybody with a fascination or knows of somebody with a fascination with Irish history, and particularly the Land League and Michael Davitt, this is a must. The only thing is, it's not going to fit into the Christmas stocking. That's the problem. Was all of this a labour of love?
Yes, it was. And I must say that over all those years coming and going from there are lots and lots of Davitt papers in the Trinity Manuscripts Library. Over all those years, my interest and liking for Davitt, I mean, I don't think we would have agreed on everything, but my liking for him and his sense of humour and so on never waned. I was never sorry that I'd taken on that project.
Yeah, because this isn't the first one you've published about Davitt. You've done Collected Writings 1869-906, Jotting in Solitary 2003, and then you co-edited with W.J. McCormick another book, Devoy's Michael Davitt from the Gaelic American 2008. So it's about
you better leave. I'm a complete Michael Davitt boy.
You are. You must be his biggest fan. I tell you, if you were in front of Magnus Magnusson now doing a test on 2 minutes on the life and times of Michael Davitt, it'd be very interesting to see how you got on. What's next on the agenda for you?
Oh, I think gardening, really.
Oh, I see. There isn't a plant called the Michael Davitt plant, no.
I'd breed one.
Okay. If people want to get their hands on a copy of this book, it's €40 for the book, okay? But you might say, what? €40? But when you see it, you'll know why. Where can people get it?
Well, most bookshops
online. I think it's online.
UCD. Kenny's has it and Hodges Figgis has it, and
most shops have it. Anyway, you'd also be able to pick it up if you can't get it in your local bookshop, ucdpress.ie. That's ucdpress.ie. Carla, you need to take a long break.
Thank you.
And lovely to talk to you.
Thank you very much, Tommy.
Not
lovely
at all. Take care.
Bye-bye.
There you are. That is Carla King, the lady behind this amazing book, Michael Davitt, After the Land League, 1882 to 1906. It is just a stunning piece of work.